Welcome to On the Front Lines with Christy Hutcherson. Today is my inauguration show, and we are going to be airing every single Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're not going to want to miss this powerful, impactful show, taking you to the front lines on what is happening all over, not just the United States, but throughout the globe. We're going to bring you firsthand experts' knowledge and firsthand look at how things are impacting the world today. Today, I have my first guest, and it is none other than Anne Vandersteel, and she is with the Zelenko Foundation. And we are going to talk about some very important subjects, banking, borders, and the press conference that we are having tomorrow on COVID and the hospital systems and how they have literally destroyed many people's lives. So tune in. First guest, I'm going to bring Anne on now.
Thank you, Anne. So glad to have you. I am so thrilled. It's my inaugural show, and you are just such an amazing patriot. You're out there fighting. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have, actually, and I'm thrilled to have you today. We're going to be talking about some very important subjects, the borders and how that impacts America in all 50 states. What the reasoning behind the open borders really is, because we're not hearing that on the narrative in the news. And then we're going to go to the banking, because we've had a major collapse and we're going to continue to have a lot of restructuring, so to speak, in the financial markets and in the banking system. So I would like to kind of talk to you about that. And then this show is actually going to air after our press conference that you've invited me to. But I do want to talk a little bit about why the Zelenko Foundation and you are actually holding this press conference in front of the Sarasota Memorial, and what we want to achieve during that press conference.
Well, first of all, Christy, this is an honor to be with you on your inaugural show. I mean, who knew that I would be the inaugural guest? What you have done for the country, for the world, exposing the border problems, what's going on with this Biden administration, the regime that has taken over and is just destroying the republic for which we stand. And many of your viewers, all of your viewers, in fact, feel the same way. So what we're trying to do here, what you're trying to do, is really express that, not only to the people that love and adore you, but really get that messaging out to everybody so people can understand in context what open borders is doing to this country, and with this country's fall, what it means to the rest of the world and the United Nations New World Order that they're really going to set up. I mean, the WHO, you and I can talk about that also. There's an agenda here. And so it's an honor to be able to be here and discuss it with you.
Well, let's just get right into it, because there is so much to talk about. You know, and I came on your show 2 weeks before Christmas, and I had just come back from an operation at the border, and we broke a major story that you're still not hearing, and it has major implications to some very bad players in the world, and that is these tunnel systems.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the open borders, we have terrorists flowing through our country on the northern border as well. You know, I've been reporting on that for over 2 years, and I'm finally glad to see Fox and everybody else is kind of catching up.
Yeah.
We have Iranians. We just had an Iranian rest at the border. And so this has major implications. But the thing about the tunnel that really piques my interest, and I talked about it on your show, is how you connect the dots of what they're bringing in and out of these tunnels. And it's not the typical drugs and the human trafficking that people automatically go to. There's something a little bit more nefarious, I believe.
That's right.
That's happening with these tunnel systems. And I also believe that our own government clearly understands that these tunnels are there, and I think in some ways have actually helped build these tunnels.
Well, Christy, with the investigative work I've done in the past few years, going back into 2017, 2018, with respect to the Fast and Furious story, the Obama Holder gun running operation that went bad and resulted in the death of not only BORTAC agent with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Brian Terry, but also Nick Ivey, also William Neal Anderson, who was also a BORTAC agent that served with Brian Terry. So this is much bigger and much deeper and much more sinister and evil. And it frankly engulfs the entire world, because it's the trafficking network that we're talking about. So human trafficking isn't just about moving people.
That's right.
It's about what they're doing with the people. Who is really running the operations? Who is the muscle behind it? And what is the final agenda? I mean, we have the sick predilection of the sex trafficking trade. We also have the adrenochrome trade, where they're harvesting organs and then harvesting blood from children after they terrorize them. And this is real stuff. You know, this is, we've also got then the weapons and the drugs. There's just so much. And then the money that's moved around. And then, of course, it is all serving to continue to select your democratically elected people. And they're not. And it's happening not only in this country, but everywhere. And it's happened everywhere else. I mean, the color revolutions that the CIA have engaged in test operations all over the world to perfect the color revolution mm-hmm. is now happening here.
100%.
So, and this border is part of it, isn't it?
It 100%. Because when you even look at CIA, for example, the CIA, actually, if you go way back into the 70s and 80s, they're the ones who actually helped bolster the cartels themselves. And Escobar is one of those individuals that they help bring up through the ranks. And they feed a lot of the drugs, the money, and the weapons to the cartels. We have an active government right now. America, we've been telling you this for a long time. They are involved in a lot of this nefarious activity. And if you look at Nicaragua and the Contra hearings way back into Reagan, this all had to do with the CIA and our own government's operations to facilitate what they wanted to orchestrate within those governments and help them to fall.
That's right.
And that's what's happening here as well.
Yeah. And again, I go back to what we see happening at the border. So if you just look right now at the level of infiltration, the amount of people that are flowing across the border right now, every single month, in your estimation, Christy, how many people do you think have made it across the border just during the Biden regime?
So looking at both the northern and southern border, because the data that they're mostly putting out there is southern border data. And so we have actually four borders. We have a Pacific coast, we have an Atlantic coast, and we have a Canadian border, and we have a southern border.
Right.
We also have camera systems, private camera systems, ranchers. There's a lot of data that we can pull from that the federal government actually doesn't pull from. And, you know, we hone in on the getaways as well as the apprehensions. And when we've looked at that data, we are somewhere between what we really estimate is somewhere between the possibly the 12 to 18 million mark. Think about that for a second. 12 to 18 million illegals who are now living in our country.
It's startling because I don't think the federal government truly is going to tell us the truth about that.
No, they won't.
Instead, they're advocating for just go ahead and give them all amnesty. Just give them amnesty. Mm-hmm. Now, Christy, are they paying taxes? I mean, are they contributing to the system in which is supporting these people? How are we affording this as a country?
And we can't. I mean, that's part of the problem, right? That's part of the process. Let's collapse us from a financial perspective. You cannot, that the strain that this is putting on of our school systems, our welfare systems, our hospital systems, our law enforcement, housing. I mean, you think about all of these things, our supply chain. Everything that we need as Americans to thrive, they are actually raping from us.
Right.
And where do you think they're getting all of this housing and clothing? They're coming from the taxpayer dollars. And we are already way underwater. This is not sustainable.
So, you know, one of the things that's come up in the news lately, and I just want to get your feedback on this, is the story that broke out in Arizona several weeks ago. Liz Harris, who is a newly elected, shockingly so, state representative. And she was the one that championed the whole going around and canvassing door to door in the Arizona districts to find out who really lived under these addresses. And she proved that there was multiple names, registered addresses that were really phantom voters. So she hasn't stopped there because she's been such a lightning rod with that issue. She was approached by an attorney who has some unfortunate personal circumstances in his life, but his investigator, a woman by the name of Jacqueline Breger, was approached Liz Harris and wanted to provide information.
Yeah.
So Liz said, I'm not the investigator, but let's present this to our state legislature in a joint committee meeting hearing where they had Senate and state representatives together on a joint committee. And this information that Jacqueline Breger brought forward with respect to how they stole the elections, but what they're continuing to do to fund and keep politicians in control so they never solve the problem was not only happening in Arizona, but in 22 states as well, based on the investigator's report. What I found startling, Christy, was that the investigator was addressed when she was taking questions and answer. Wendy Rogers, Senator Wendy Rogers, asked her why she hadn't presented this to law enforcement, but she had just yielded to the Senate that she actually had dropped it off with Doug Ducey's office last year. He's the governor, for goodness sakes, or was. Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who was also the attorney general, highest law enforcement officer in the state, next to your sheriffs. And of course, four Arizona U.S. attorneys.
Yeah.
Nobody did anything with this. Now it's becoming a political hot potato. Liz Harris has been censured, and she's responded to their, you know, censorship in a 3-page statement. It was quite revealing. But, and again, knowing that the cartels, the Sinaloa cartel, somebody Sinaloa. You battle with mm-hmm. daily.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your take on where this is going, and how can we inform our audiences here, your audience?
Well, you know, my audience is pretty educated on all this stuff because I've been talking about the corruption and the connection between the Sinaloa and the government officials, not just in Arizona, by the way. It's California, New Mexico, Texas as well. With Governor Ducey, if you really want to look into SkyBridge, if you don't know what SkyBridge is, you know, I don't have time to go into it today, but you need to research what SkyBridge is. And it's basically a trading platform with Mexico in a deal that was made.
No customs.
You know, no customs checks, things like that. But you ask, you know, I've been asking this question for a long time. How does one sell a $2 million house for $8 million? You know, and that's one of the ways that they launder the money. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, we have to verify and vet all of the information that was laid out that day on the floor. But I can tell you, me and my team, we've been investigating this for a very long time, and they're really not that far off. It's a great way to money launder and get paid off. But the bribes typically come prior to judges and politicians getting into office. Because it's a little bit harder to influence them that way, because they're a little bit more under the microscope. So they typically do it prior to them getting into office, and they help them get into office. So they don't have the will, so to speak, to investigate this type of stuff when it's brought to them. You know, I'm not going to say whether I agree with how Liz Harris decided to do that or not. I believe that when you have that kind of information, you need to really make sure that you are turning over every single stone and you have a really rock solid case so you don't reveal your hand to the enemy.
Right.
Because what that did do, and I'm going to tell you, this is my concern, it now revealed our hand, so to speak, and they can go back through and make major cover-ups with paperwork. And so there's kind of one of those things that you have to really think about. It was a great political grandstanding stunt to get your point across because they don't hear us, but sometimes we have to pull back that emotion,
right,
and do it in a crafty way so we win at the end of the day.
Well, I can only hope that if they brought that information forward, and there's a lot more they said, that they have already made some attempt at the next steps of how you're going to deal with it. And perhaps they were giving the Arizona Senate an opportunity and the Arizona State Legislative Body an opportunity to address what they believe they already have a way to prosecute. I'm guessing here. I don't know. I can tell you this, when I did Fast and Furious and right as General, I was in the middle of that, and General Flynn was having to be relieved of duty as the national security advisor to President Trump. I had met a lot of different victims of Fast and Furious, people who own gun stores in Las Vegas, for instance, who the gun store owners had joint partnerships, and the ATF came in and they stole one of the partners' stock certificates and had it renamed in a cutout's name for the ATF, but they didn't realize there was a silent partner. They locked up this one partner in a 3-year federal detention center in Pahrump, Nevada, without ever being heard. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It trumped up charges on an arrest, all the stuff. They stole his store and moved all of his weapons, military grade things as well, out of that store, and then bought a lot of things on an expired federal firearms license because they would approve it to the manufacturer. Yes, this FFL is good. And so they moved weapons through there, to which we now know serial numbers out of that store turned up in Benghazi in 2012. So this is another way they were trafficking weapons to basically arm the enemy and stop what Chris Stevens knew was wrong, right? Ambassador Chris Stevens, who lost his life along with 3 others over there. It was tragic. But what we learned during that time period also was when I was reporting on this, General Flynn lost his NSA job. Interestingly enough, Rudy Contreras, who was a FISA court judge who recused himself at the time General Flynn stepped down as NSA, he had a house in Arizona that got sold 3 times in one day.
This happens all the time. There is a lot of connection between about 6 other states in Arizona. I'm not going to get into that right now because we are actively looking at some, we're on the front lines and we're investigating some very serious stuff. But, you know, Anne, this is nothing new. And you and I have talked off camera a lot back and forth about what's really going on in this nation. And for me, with the border specifically, we already, I mean, most of us who have been following are awake, not woke, but awake.
Right.
They understand that there's a lot of players behind the scene in our own federal government across all of these agencies that have been weaponized. And the goal is to literally usher in a communist, socialist America.
Right.
And the thing that keeps me up right now, one of the many things that really keep me up at night, is the fact that we have Iran, who they have the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And if you don't know what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is, kind of think about our elite forces. It's their elite force. And these guys are brutal. Mm-hmm. And they have no conscience or no morals. And they are currently right now embedded with the cartels, and that's plural, whether it's the Sinaloa, the Zetas, the New Generation Cartel, and some others. There's camps in Mexico that they've set up, and they're doing military training exercise as we speak right now. We had an Iranian aircraft take off from Tehran, go to Cuba, Venezuela, Mexico City, and landed in Buenos Aires with cyber intelligence equipment on there and 14 cyber operatives.
Any chance that they've been coordinating and collaborating with the Chinese, who've also been training in 100%. Mexico since Fast and Furious?
100%.
Yeah.
And China right now, and Russia, by the way, are in North America on the border, and they're coming over in droves. I was just on the phone yesterday with Sheriff Mark Lamb, and we were having a candid conversation. And coming back from the border a couple of weeks ago, we've got intel and pictures of military Russians and full military guard. These guys are militia. These are military from the Russian military who are asking for asylum to come through our borders, and they're implanting into the United States. Same thing with the China army. These guys are deadly. They're here. They're here for a purpose. And we believe that they're building up. And so does law enforcement, by the way, our own law enforcement, the good guys. They believe that they are actually building camps and building up an army to come against us when we do not comply.
Well, is that complying going to come from the WHO's latest orders, which have been now, you know, obviously we know Joe Biden has now surrendered the United States Congress, their authority to the WHO with his own signature last December of 2022 under the National Defense Authorization Act. He basically created an act within that act that gave our plenary power of the Congress and submits it to the WHO. So essentially he's surrendered the sovereign United States to the world, as Dr. Zelenko would have called it, the World Homicide Organization. But that's, of course, basically just another faction of the UN. So now Tedros over there, the director general of the WHO, can determine whether or not we live freely or not. And it's going to, he'll use a public health emergency of international concern to basically draw us into quarantine camps and lockdowns again. And of course, mandated vaccinations.
Yeah. And one of the things about that order also that should frighten every single American is, think about this. The WHO can also, in that order, it actually gives a little bit more broader power. And the WHO can say, if we all rioted in the streets, that can be a pandemic.
Right.
So there could be a riot pandemic. Therefore, then the blue hats can come in and police us here in the United States of America. Folks, this is real stuff.
Yeah,
we're not making this up. This isn't conspiracy theory. You can actually research all of the information that we're giving you here on your own. You don't have to take our word for it. But we again, we're on the front lines. We're digging out the truth because we believe that you need to understand this. And we're here to prepare you and your families. I know that that's what the series I'm doing on Saturdays as well. It's called The Storm Is Here. And are you ready? So that's what we're trying to prepare everybody. And, you know, that's a great segment. I was at the UN, United Nations, just a couple weeks ago. And what there was an individual on the panel that was actually speaking, and she worked for the Department of Justice. And now she's out and she's working at Georgetown. And the language, the legal language now that even the United Nations for the counterterrorism portion of this is they're using words like, if you're a right wing extremist,
right,
you're a terrorist.
Right.
If you go against what they believe to be true, disinformation. If they don't believe that your information is true and it's disinformation, they're going to label you a terrorist.
That's right.
This language is in the United Nations on the floor when I was there last week speaking. And that frightened me. There's a whole lot of other things that we're going to be rolling out over the course of the next couple of weeks about this, but we need to be on high alert.
Well, the other thing that the United, that language keeps resurfacing is actually in our own federal government.
Yes.
The FBI is using the same language. They're calling sovereign citizens domestic terrorists, American state nationals domestic terrorists, even though those two designations are not even closely resemble one another, because an American state national is a political class recognized by the Department of State, by our own federal That's government. Right. They recognize that. Look at your passports, ladies and gentlemen. If you open your passport book up, it tells you right there, citizen slash national. It's the same thing. That's what American state nationals are. So it's not a political class that's out to be anti-government, war on government. We're actually very pro. We the people version of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So this narrative, this color revolution that we're talking about, is not only being facilitated and funded by government through non-governmental organizations, by the George Soroses as well, with Open Society and all the other subsidiaries of that, that are funding these migrations of illegals into our country, fighting age males, majoritively speaking here, that are coming in by the thousands every single day. But they're also funding the dissension within our own country pit people against each other. So this whole plan, this, you know, illegal migration is, frankly, a piece of the puzzle of the disintegration, destruction of this great country, so that we will fall, because we're the last country that actually has the Second Amendment and we can defend ourselves. But I question now at this point, Christy, if Americans, seeing that the greatest generation is now pretty much gone, mm-hmm. is it the generations younger than you and I that you're bringing up the country, do they have the stomach to stand up and defend freedom?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, I'm a mom of that generation. And I can tell you, my two boys are ready to stand. My one son, as you know, Anne, you've heard his story.
Yeah.
He stood and stood up for the Constitution at a lot of cost to him, great cost to him personally and professionally. But, America hasn't had tanks roll through their streets.
No.
It's coming. And they will. And that's the problem. Europe has. And if you look at what's going on right now in France and the Netherlands, you're seeing people take to the streets. And that's the reason why the language that they're starting to craft and use is to designate us the threat. And so once they designate anybody who believes in freedom, liberty, and the Constitution and conservative values, you will be a threat against the agenda and the globalist elites.
Right.
And so they have to figure out a way to deem you a terrorist so they can arrest you. They can seize your property. And that's a great thing, because I want to talk about something too in just a few minutes. There was a patent that I discovered that was put in by Bank of America in January of this year. And it's an interesting patent that we're going to talk about, because it's when we go into the banking segment. And I want to know why a bank wants to have a passport for my travel.
Why do they want that?
Exactly.
Let me guess.
And I'm going to go into detail about it.
Environmental social governance, perhaps, a social credit score.
And if I don't fall into this and I might be exposed, and therefore they have to track my every move. So we're going to read about that patent, because I think everybody needs to understand how serious this really is right now. But, you know, the borders are wide open for a reason. They are not only bringing in 80% of every single person who's come across the border are young adult males. They're not the UACs, unaccompanied children. They're not the family units. These are young adult males of fighting age. Right. That is for a reason. There are open borders to destabilize our economy further. We're already seeing the banking business. You're seeing hyperinflation go on. People cannot afford mortgages anymore. You're going to see credit card companies going under because people aren't going to be able to keep up with the payments. You're going to see wages go down. I mean, this is a trickle-down effect that's happening, and it's all done on purpose. And you know, we're not going to get into the Trump possible arrest, but that'll be really interesting to see what happens this week. This show is going to air after the fact, so we'll see exactly what transpires that day once they do try to take Trump in.
Again, Trump's always said he's what's standing between them and us.
Yep.
Right. He was trying to be the last line of defense for we the people. He told us he was giving back our country to the people when he got inaugurated in January of 2017. And he obviously understands all of these issues very, very clearly, which is why Title 42 was put in place, so that it was the remain in Mexico policy. You didn't just get to wander in here and get a cushy cell and get, you know, diapers and healthcare and all this stuff. When in fact your agenda was not to be here for the right reasons. So this was the very, you know, this was the policy to vet the people coming in the country and let them do the legal process. You know, I have to say, I've known a lot of immigrants in our country that came here legally. I've grown up with immigrants. My parents helped bring people over from the from foreign countries all over the world and sponsor and help them get their legal status. My father is a legal immigrant from Holland. He went through Ellis Island. There is nothing wrong with being an immigrant here. My God, that's what made this country the best country on the planet. It's why everybody wants that's to be
exactly
here.
Right. With the great melting pot.
The great melting pot. But what they're doing now is they're destroying the fabric of the people who came here for those reasons to put further their agenda, so that the people they're bringing in overwhelm the system and will overwhelm the voting system. So they don't need to rig elections anymore and steal them with machines if that ever ends for them. And I think that day will come, maybe. But if that does happen, then we have an electorate that will vote in the agenda of a socialist / communist regime. And that's what we have.
You know, and we have that in common. My family fled Stalin. Mm-hmm. I'm a Russian Jew on my mother's side. And my papa is in Ellis Island as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're immigrants. We immigrated here. And on my father's side, we're Cherokee Indians. So we know a little bit about suffering. And so there's a reason why these illegals, and they are illegal, everybody who comes into our country and doesn't do it the right way, they're illegals, and they should be turned away, because we do have legal immigration and we have a way to come into our country properly. And they want to start brainwashing people to say, oh, they're migrating for this, or they're migrants. Right. They're not water buffalo. We're not migrating. Right. They're illegals breaking into a country. And America, we have got to stand up and push back on this, because your way of life is going to be affected by the influx of this. So, So Anne, let's get right into the banking part of this.
Yeah.
So there's so much to talk about, what's going on in the financial markets right now. So what is your take on the whole Silicon Valley Bank, the New York Bank, the Swiss Bank that, by the way, I think was just bought up by one of the big conglomerates? And our kind of take is that this is part of, again, of the big plan for the world, for the world domination, as we like to say it, for the globalist agenda. On a serious note, to kind of squeeze everybody to a 8-12 banking system and get rid of all the smaller banks and funnel everybody so they can have more oversight and control.
Well, we saw in 2008, the banks were too big to fail, right? And so the ones that did fail got bought up by bigger banks. That has been the agenda, the slow agenda to getting in this, to nationalizing banks. They did this before in the 30s. They took the gold from people. This is the playbook we've seen. We just need to know our history, Christy. So let's talk about Silicon Valley Bank, first of all. One world banking has to happen so they can control us with social credit scores. China has already set the pace and the model. And I know you've got some stuff. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But Silicon Valley Bank, the failure there is interesting, in the fact that it got completely bailed out when the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, only insures bank accounts up to $250,000. So if you have $1 million in the bank, you get to save a quarter of it and the rest is bye-bye. They insured everybody. In the deposits, they had about $209 or $40 million in that bank. I can't recall the exact number. Call it $240 and change. 97% of the depositors in that bank had well north of $250,000, and they were all made whole. So only 3% of the people in that bank were really just like regular people, the normal people that don't.
And guess who were the beneficiaries of most of those donors who are in that bank?
Oh, I don't know, the people in our government.
The Democratic Party.
Oh my God, there's a surprise. I would never have seen that coming. But the other thing that I find really interesting in that there was a lot of Israeli companies that were startups in that bank. And that's another way to launder money, by the way, is to have startups, right? That's you throw all this money at startups. Oh, it fails. Oops, who knew, right? And the money gets spent by the startup on whatever they're spending their money on, which recycles it right back in. You wash the money. So cartels are washing money, illegal military operations are washing money, bad governments are washing money. Israeli startups, I used government, that was like a slip there. But you also had a lot of Chinese companies that were also part of the Silicon Valley Bank failure. So again, you have to ask yourself, who is benefiting from the money that's getting pumped into, and who got to keep that's the right. IP? Because according to the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, this didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. So well, who bailed them out? Yeah, I'd like to know. Do we even know who bailed them out? Because I haven't seen the name of the entity, people, or whatever that bailed them out. I mean, did Elon Musk come in and bail out the $200 million? Because he could have done it. Who has the money to do it? And the other point in this is if these customers of the banks that were startups that had significant IP and it wasn't just a fake corporation to launder money, who owns the IP of those companies now? Because somebody does.
Let's break this down for the layman, because a lot of this is over most average Americans' heads. They don't really understand that. So I really want to break that down so people understand the implications of the impact of this. And, you know, we're talking about funneling billions of dollars. Okay. And most of the individuals who were in that bank, they gave politically to one particular party, and that's the Democratic Party.
Right.
And again, you made a great point with Biden saying that the taxpayer's not on the hook for this. Well, first and foremost, if the federal government stepped in, whether it's the FDIC or whoever that is funded by the American taxpayer. So again, their lips are moving. Are they lying to us?
They're lying.
Or was there a private entity that we don't know about that stepped in? But I'm here to say somehow, some way, the taxpayer is on the hook again for this.
Of course.
And it's a laundering scheme. So basically, your taxpayer dollar, your hard-earned dollars are being utilized to pay off, to launder money, and give back to the Communist Party, aka the Democratic Party.
That's right. And again, this is the obfuscation, the clear lying. Just because you're not admitting something, and when you don't come through and say, oh, don't worry, it's not the taxpayer, well, then be clear who it is, because you know who it is. Why are you withholding that information? Mm-hmm. They don't want us to know. They don't want people digging. And we know that your audience are a bunch of very intelligent people that will go and dig on this information to try and find out who is responsible for the Silicon Valley bailout. Now let's fast forward. We have First Republic that has gone down. 11 banks came in to bail out First Republic. So what happens is, it's more of a bail-in, because essentially all those banks now are together. They're part of it. They become one bank. They'll be the next list of banks to be on the distressed property list, and somebody else is going to come and gobble those. So what we're seeing right now, specifically with Credit Suisse, this is a major Swiss bank. They have now rejected the second offer as of today from UBS to bail them out. It's as if they don't want to even survive. They are methodically moving towards collapsing all this in, so that they can be bought up and bought up. And again, this is part of that one world government agenda, Christy, where they're going to control everything. And you have to ask yourself, so if we have one big bank for the whole world to use, who is the governing agency of that bank? Would it be the Federal Reserve? Would it be? Is Putin going to be good with that? I mean, he's got the BRICS
Isn't
countries.
There an entity called the IMF? Under the UN?
Gee, the World Bank, you mean? Yeah. Isn't that interesting how it's already ready-made? So this is, in my humble opinion, the move towards complete globalization. But we have to also say, you know what? BRICS, while they may be made up of Brazil, okay, friendly country, it used to be till Lula took over, stole that. Russia, we had the reset with Hillary Clinton. I think Putin's trying to be our friend. At least he was with Donald Trump. India, we knew was our friend. Mm-hmm. China, definitely we have concerns. But then you have the Iranians and Saudis, you have all these other countries that are going in, the Kazakhstans, all the Stan countries are going to be going in there. So a lot of countries we have been at war with, but they are going to a gold-backed, you know, basket of currencies. And they're starting to set up their own like SWIFT-like ability to connect and have move money. The Saudis are taking the Chinese digital yuan right now, as opposed to the US dollar.
Absolutely. Well, if you look at the past 15 to 20 years, and especially let's just talk within the last 10 years, you have seen major countries do nothing but a run on buying massive amounts of gold all over. And I'm going to tell you, I believe China right now and Russia have more gold stockpile than they're actually alluding to, which is kind of scary. There is a lot of gold being bought on the under market, not on the up and up, and being transported. And that is a very scary thing for us. And so we did a huge series yesterday with Patrick Byrne, and we talked about this. And one of the suggestions I know I have, and I know you have, we have moved a lot of our personal assets into purchasing gold and purchasing silver.
Yes.
And the reason why we're purchasing silver, and specifically 1 ounce little coins, you can buy it in little coins. You can also do the little bars, but you're going to need to have that to trade with. This is a very scary situation that is coming up.
Yeah, it's terrifying. In fact, you're going to see more and more people heading into this gold rush, if you will, because the US dollar, which of course is a Federal Reserve note, which is a debt instrument. It's not real money. It's backed by nothing. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Well, Christy, after 3 years of COVID, what have we learned? We can't trust our own government. They deployed a bioweapon. They called it a vaccine. They changed the definition of what a vaccine is to permit a experimental use gene modification substance to be injected in billions of arms around the world. And they called it healthcare. And what have we learned from their healthcare is that they've killed millions of people with this vaccine, and not just the vaccine, but the fact that they didn't listen to experts. They didn't even listen to their own NIH, which proved chloroquine was effective in treating coronavirus in 2005.
That's right.
It was actually fully vetted as a drug to treat coronavirus. And they showed why it blocked the coronavirus from being able to attach to cells, because it attaches what's called the ACE2 receptors on the cells. This was a viable treatment option, and it was dismissed as if it was quackery. And doctors were debanked, and some doctors were arrested, and doctors were made a mockery of. Dr. Zelenko, you know, they tried to paint him out to be. But again, this lie that they continue to perpetrate, and now they're going to tell us everything's okay. I can tell you, you know, in Chicago, the Chicago Mercantile, which has a lot of gold, they had a sovereign country come in there and buy 45% of all their gold. It wasn't the U.S. You're right about that. They are exporting our gold and selling it out of the country right now. What is the U.S. going to have left to back their currency if our dollar goes down and we have to relaunch a currency?
Well, I think the individuals who are at the highest levels in our federal government right now, aka the deep state, right? We always refer to the deep state.
Right.
And if you even look at Ukraine, and not to get into too depth of this, this is all, and you look at what happened in Afghanistan with all of our billions of dollars worth of military equipment and things like that. Protocols were not followed 100%. This is not how America does things. This is not how the military does things, but it's all about taking and shifting our power, our resources, whether it's our finances, our military might, our secrets, our weapons and how they're developed, our intellectual property, our cyber property. They are giving it all away.
Right.
And then on top of that, with Ukraine, with the billions and billions of dollars, by the way, of taxpayer funded dollars, that is another money laundering way to push out all of our money there. And then it gets dispersed on a world global stage. And America is the last beacon of light and hope for the world. We are the last defender, so to speak, for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And they know that we have to fall. And that's where we're being hit on multiple fronts. And we are running around chasing. I equate it to a dog running in circles and trying to grab that tail. And we're all looking at all of these incredible things that are really important, whether it's the healthcare, whether it's CRT, the education, transgender, open borders. I mean, my God, the banking system, inflation. But really, we all need to really hone in and start focusing in on the why.
Yeah.
Why is all of this happening? And then we need to look at the head and the root, and we need to focus all of our attention on the root cause so we can pluck that root out. And I believe that that's really where the shift this year that needs to happen, and be focused on how do we stop this coming tsunami that is already here.
Right.
You know, and what you said earlier was interesting. I equate it to like a tornado. So I want everybody to visually picture a tornado. You know how it starts sometimes small and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and absorbs everything around it and pulls it up in there. So that's what they're doing. They're absorbing and pulling it, whether it's the banking system, all of these things, they're absorbing it all and funneling it to one area, and that is the World Economic Forum, the one world government.
That's right. Well, the United Nations is frankly where, if people want to know where the IRS reports, look no further than the UN, That's right. The IRS is a charter of the United Nations.
That's right.
And that's where the money's going. It's going to the IMF, to the World Bank. Your tax dollars are already going to the World Bank and have been since its inception. This is not new here. So this is what people don't understand about our history. There has been such a narrative that has been painted for our own history of our government, the history of our country, the fact that we lost our sovereignty, frankly, when we became U.S. citizens. People don't understand that, Christy. Yeah. In 1868, after the end of the Civil War, the 14th Amendment was unconstitutionally ratified. You need to look up your history. I can provide you all of this documentation. But there was two states that said, we don't want to sign on to be part of the United States. We're America. We're a union of states. We're sovereign nation states, right? You had New York, you had Virginia, and so on. They were all independents with their own executive, legislative, judicial branches. They were functioning as independent countries with open trade and open borders, essentially, right? And that was working up until the United States decided to gobble everybody up. New Jersey, Ohio dissented. They said no. They were threatened. They gave in under duress. Again, that's fraud, and fraud vitiates everything. We know that. But, you know, so going forward, we lost our nationality. We lost who we were as a country. 3 years after that, the United States incorporated, the federal government district incorporated. As a citizen of that United States, you are part of that corporation. That is what people haven't understood. And this is how they've been able to manipulate, control, and layer in all of these additional contracts with the government. Your birth certificate is a contract with the government. It creates a straw man of you. You ever noticed how your credit card statements, your bank statements, driver's license, passport, everything is in all caps name? That's your corporate fiction of you. And that's who's contracting with the corporation of the United States. And this is how they've duped you, the free woman, into thinking you have to follow all these rules, codes, statutes, ordinances. And this is how, why it's so important that open borders exist for that corporation to bring in cheap labor, for the people that don't want to do the work in the fields, they can bring in the forced labor camps, but then also rolling that all under the UN and one world government and Tedros over at WHO, now they have control of all of us. And when Tedros says, oh my gosh, there's a little riot outbreak of pandemic in New York City because, you know, they were mad they arrested Trump, or there was a riot outbreak in Baltimore or in West Palm Beach or wherever, they will declare a public health emergency of international concern
under the WHO,
thanks to Joe Biden giving plenary authority of the Congress to the WHO. Now we are now subject to whatever the WHO wants. And guess what? They will send in those blue helmets, the UN troops, to take control and start to lock people down. And whatever happens next. It will be out of our hands.
Yeah, and I want to remind everybody here, if you remember last year, the Canadian truckers and they were arrested, and it was not the Canadian police who arrested those truckers. It was the United Nations who came in, their police force, and arrested those Canadian truckers. So this isn't far-fetched information. This is reality. This is truth. That's what we do here, right?
Right.
We want to tell you truth. So you're prepared. And I know this is a lot of scary information, but you need to understand, you know, when all of these things do happen, especially with the banking collapses that are going to happen, you don't need to panic, and there needs to be no panic. Calmness always prevails, cool right. heads. So you need to prepare yourself. 72 hours is typically the supply chain. So when these things happen, everything's going to be shut down. I believe it was, I'm going to probably misquote the president. It was FDR, somebody. They shut down the banking system for 2 weeks. And that means everything, the stores, right. the shops, everything's going to close down because you don't have anything for commerce. So you need to make sure you have water supplies. You need to make sure you have enough food for your family. Right. You need to make sure you have enough money on hand, preferably right. not your dollars. Again, silver, things like that, that you can trade with. If you can't do that, because I know everybody right now, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're like, what do? We don't even know what to do.
Get cash.
Get cash out as much as you can and just keep it. If you can get a safe, put a safe. Make sure you have arms. You know, you need to be able to defend yourself. Defense. And, you know, get a plan together. And I know Women Fighting network. For America, we have that. We're going to show you how to get a network of like-minded individuals. If you can grow food on your balcony, on your porch, There's so many different ways that you can start protecting and providing for yourself. You need to be self-sufficient and start getting away from this government and be able to stand on your own two feet.
Yeah. This is all solid advice, Christy, because again, most people haven't heard a lot of this information, which is why I hope your audience shares this everywhere. If they have email lists, even to their friends that didn't vote for Trump or don't believe it, a word we're saying, send it anyway, because I think the conversation here is so compelling. We're linking all the pieces and how they all go together in the global picture, because again, we are a global planet. And while the United States used to be the leader of the free world, we are now being swallowed by the leaders of the World Economic Forum and the agenda that they have slow rolled progressively. It's just bit by bit, but they had to wait it out because of course they had to start with the education system and brainwash the children. And so our generation really is the last generation that understood something about history, even though ours was still had been manipulated. But the generations younger than us, it's tragic what's gone on because they actually are growing up where they believe they're entitled to be taken care of as opposed to actually earning. And it's they've bastardized the use of the name capitalism, and they've turned it into corporatism. And what we've now seen and witnessed is the evil of the public-private partnership when corporations and governments merge together. And what you have is a transition of power from the government of the people, by the people, for the people, to the corporations, which are beholden to their, you know, masters and stockholders, and of course their agenda. And we all know all corporations are owned by really three hedge funds: BlackRock, Vanguard, and of course either State Street Capital or Berkshire Hathaway. But the majority of them are BlackRock or Vanguard. And so, and they are all beholden to the World Economic Forum.
And you've seen, I don't know about you, but all of a sudden I've been seeing all these BlackRock commercials everywhere, haven't you?
Oh, yes. We have to feel good commercials. We're going to be friends with the people of BlackRock. Get used to them. That's the, that is the dark.
We're humanitarian. We're everywhere.
The Death Star.
This is where your money's going to go, and this is, you need to put your funds with us and your allegiance to us. No, you need to have your allegiance to God and your country.
That's right.
And your family. That's what your allegiance needs to be to.
That's right.
I want to read you something that was really interesting to me. And we'll kind of talk about this just a little bit. But the United States Patent Office, Bank of America Corporation, filed for this patent. And it's a very interesting patent that a bank, a financial institution, is asking for. And Bank of America, if you don't know anything about Bank of America, please do your research on this. And if you have your money in Bank of America, you need to pull all of your assets completely out of Bank of America. They are not a good corporate bank. They are not a good corporation. They're pretty evil. They back a whole lot of stuff that I'm not going to get into today, but I want you to just listen to this.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Oh, CRT. The Muslim Brotherhood, terrorist organizations like Hezbollah. We could go on and on. Woke agendas. So this patent is, I'm going to read exactly what the abstract of this patent is. Okay. Traveling may expose.
The
patent, this is the patent. The known traveler unlocking.
What is this being used for? What is this patent being used for?
This is a Bank of America asking. This is the publication for the patent. And then the abstract, I'm going to read those two things.
Okay.
Because this is the premise of what they want to do with this passport.
This is the patent for the passport?
So this is the patent for the passport. The passport is called Digital Passport with Verified Data Provence. The known traveler, you, unlocking the potential of digital identity for secure and seamless travel. Systems and methods for accurately and securely assembling, storing, and leveraging travel data are provided. A method may include detecting a travel event of a user. The method may include recording the travel event in a travel map that is stored in a database. The travel map may be a temporal and a spatial-based record of one or more travel events of the user. The travel map may be stored as a blockchain ledger. The method may include tokenizing sensitive information associated with the user in the database and calculating a hazard vector. The method may include updating based on, at least in part, on the hazard vector, a status index associated with the user, and providing the user and system administrator access to the travel map and the status index.
Access may be provided via an online portal configured to be viewed via an application running on a mobile device. So when it goes on, it talks about how tracking you, traveling may expose a traveler to hazards. Being exposed to hazards may present a danger to the traveler. Being exposed to the hazard may present a danger to other parties aside from the traveler. The traveler and other parties may be unaware of the exposure. The traveler and the other parties may be unaware of the danger presented by the exposure, and it goes on and on. So just briefly, really quick, just hearing that.
Yeah.
What does that evoke in you?
Okay. First of all, they're going to track you, trace you. They're going to keep logbooks of where you've been, what time you were there, and who you were with. Because if everybody has it, you now know, as if these cell phones aren't enough to track and trace you. Now they're going to get into the nitty gritty of your personal data, where you are, what you're doing, and they're going to legalize that through this patent. And it's going to be, if it's done through Bank of America and you are now rolling up into the bank, get it?
Yep.
You are now, if you sign that terms of service with that bank, you will now be a party to agreeing to that. And so essentially they're going to be able to say, oh my gosh, Christy Hutcherson, she just got back from Rwanda and there was an or Ethiopia and there was an outbreak of, oh, I don't know, Ebola maybe, or some other hemorrhagic fever, whatever you want to call it, the Marburg virus. That means anybody Christy Hutcherson has been come in contact with, they can use that as an excuse to lock you down immediately or not permit you back in the country if you're trying to come back. This is going to be the ultimate ball and chain. And oh, by the way, you had too big of a carbon footprint because we saw you driving around your SUV all last week going across the country. You spewed too much carbon in the atmosphere while Bill Gates is dimming the sun and pulling the carbon out of the atmosphere. And he is, and pumping it in the ground because they don't believe in photosynthesis. That, and they want to starve us and kill crops. I believe that this is how they're going to finally completely corral us and find ways to eliminate us, because they'll say, you got exposed. We need to give you another vaccine. And oh, by the way, this vaccine might have killed you.
And if you don't believe that they can do that, again, what Biden did with the WHO, signed over all of your rights once they declare a pandemic, that they can actually inject you with anything that they feel like. They can also control your doctors, hospitals, and tell them what they can and cannot treat you with. So this is all part of another step to take away our freedoms and all of our rights.
Yeah.
Wow. That scared me when I saw that. I was like, wow, we have got to expose this and we have got to get this out and push this out. And by the way, I'm probably the only one who's breaking. This is probably pretty much breaking news right here. And have you heard about this patent?
Not at all.
So breaking news on the front lines with Christy Hutcherson. This has been an incredible conversation today. If you want to get more information, you need to go to WFFA.win. That's WFFA.WIN, or text the word fight, because we are in a fight, Ann. Would you say that we're not in a fight to save our country, our nation?
100%. This is a fight for our lives, for humanity at this point. It's all about saving the human race, because these evil people want to corral the human race to be subjects to this new world order. And frankly, Christy, we know their agenda includes the fact they want to depopulate the planet. They believe there's far too many useless eaters, and they've chiseled it in the Georgia Guidestones. 500 million people is really all they need on the planet. And they've got their food and everything stored away. Believe that. They won't starve during the pandemic and the famine and the war that they're creating right now.
That's right. So if you want to continue getting this type of information, text FIGHT to 91776. This has been our first episode of Christy Hutcherson on the front lines and in the fight every day for you, the American people. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Thank you, Ann, for having taking time out of your day and being
pleasure.
Here today.
My
Thank
honor.
You so much.
Incredible show. And I'm looking forward to weekly content from you. And I'm looking forward to sharing your content with my audience. It's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Friday on TV.